wasn't something special suddenly put on for me, but I did garner plenty of resentful stares just for being a guy from headquarters. Me turning up could only mean more demands, more work, more hardship. The light was getting strange. There wasn't a lot of daylight left. "What are they doing over there?" I asked, indicating a work gang apparently digging a defensive trench. "Against shadows, that would be as useful as teats on a bull."
"Burying last night's dead," Bucket told me.
"Oh, look, you stick with me, unless you've got something critical going. The rest of you go ahead with whatever you were doing." Sindawa told me,
"You see, or I would be better guide, Standard Bearer. We're in charge, so we don't do much."
He said that with such a straight face, I almost thought he meant it. I walked over to the mass grave. They were digging a trench because that was the most efficient way to get bodies under the hard ground. I knelt, ran my fingers through what they had broken loose. Despite the rain earlier, the hard pan was dry, just inches beneath the surface. "It didn't rain much over here?" I asked.
"Mostly it just gets cold," Isi said.
I stared up the slope past the shadow gate. The ground grew more barren by the yard. There was some plant life up there, but it was stunted, desert-like growth. The corpses the soldiers were planting bore the stamp of shadow death. They were all shriveled up, with skin darkened several shades. Each dead man's mouth was open in a screaming rictus. The bodies were curled. They could not be straightened. Crow circled, but the soldiers kept them back. I felt the hard soil again, eyed the slope. The rock itself looked like hardened mud, lying in hundreds of thin layers, being gnawed away slowly by time. I guess it wouldn't rain a lot up there either, then. Or there would be more gullies and obvious washes. I wondered if erosion would create ways for shadows to escape from beyond the Shadow Gate. Evidently not. Otherwise, the world would have been overrun a long time ago. I had never found any record of a time when the Shadow Gate had not been there. It was ancient beyond reckoning, but even so, had not found its way into native religion in any form I recognized, except possibly in the infrequently used idiom common to many southern languages, glittering stone, which seemed to mean an inexplicable possession of dark madness, a sort of demonically savage insanity complicated by congenital stupidity. One of those things Taglians won't discuss with outsiders, however pressed. Until the rise of the Shadow Masters, there had been very little historical mention of the land beyond Kialune, except that it tied in somehow with the rise of the free companies of Katovar over 400 years ago. Though not religious myself, I bowed and offered a short Guni prayer for the dead before I ventured uphill for a closer look at the source of our trouble. Taide beamed at me. I must have done right. Chapter 77. "Help me plant this thing," I told Taide, as I set up the standard a few yards downhill from a working party of soldiers. Taide piled rocks around the foot of the lance until it would stand by itself. Then we walked uphill a little farther. Once upon a time, there had been an actual fortress with outbuildings and a genuine gate here. I had not been able to see that in my ghost world ventures. There were little more than grass-grown foundations left now. Everything had fallen ages ago.